Like Nico said, my name is Katie McCumber. I'm the STD epidemiologist in Michigan, and I am here to show you some of the ways that we have displayed our surveillance data for gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis in Michigan. We have not ever printed a per se epi profile as a printed document, because in Michigan the budget does not allow any printing, but for sure no printing. But we are lucky enough that the HIV profile group in Michigan includes a huge chunk. We get probably 15 pages every year out of their epi profile, which gets a lot of the basis tables and a few special highlights every time they do theirs. And we send out a lot of our documents on a listserv. So if any of you guys are thinking about printing a big document and that sounds daunting, I think that wasn't our intent. It's just how some people have done it. We aren't one of those people in Michigan. So also another thing is I want to give you the perspective of a smaller, Michigan's not really a small state. We have a lot of morbidity, but we don't have a lot of resources in surveillance and epi. I'm the only one that does this in Michigan at the statewide level. And I'm kind of a self-taught person, so if any of the technology or the software or any of that seems daunting to you too, please feel free to ask me questions. I got the software and took one class and have been kind of dinking around with it for a few years, so feel free, please, to interrupt me too if you have any questions. So to start with, really routine and important things that we do in Michigan is we have a website, an STD website that's queryable. It has ranked and morbidity rankings for counties and local health departments. In Michigan, we have counties and local health jurisdictions, which are either a county or a group of counties. Sex and age distributions. And while it's very helpful, and I know people use it every day, it's obviously not very visually effective, as you can see. But that's, you know, really important, and we would never not include those tables for people who simply need a really quick answer to a, you know, question. So the background of how to create effective visual displays is you kind of need data that's easily geocoded or put into something that can easily create a map. And in Michigan, we're not an STD MIS using state, which is kind of lucky for me. We use Michigan Disease Surveillance System, which is our homegrown NED solution. And it geocodes our STD morbidity in real time. The patient address queries a state of Michigan geocoder and then returns the XY coordinate. If the person's address isn't accurate enough for an XY coordinate, or if their address isn't there, it defaults to the centroid of the zip code, and if that's not there, it defaults to the centroid of the county. And if there's nothing for the person's address, it does the same with the address of the provider. So we get kind of to that level. In 2009, 50% of our chlamydia cases had an exact XY coordinate, and another 23% had the zip code coordinate. So we have almost 75% at least to a really accurate zip code level. So some of the really simple things we do a local health department rate. This is just the rate of chlamydia by a local health department. If you have local health jurisdictions, you have to have a shapefile for that, for those geographic areas, which we have in Michigan. I don't know who created it. Someone at the state geography department made it for us. So that's just kind of a really simple level that we do all the time. We compare cases to rates. This is preliminary syphilis for 2009. And you can see on the left is the cases, and on the right is the rate. Same thing, just really simple displays. It doesn't tell a user what their exact rate is. It doesn't give them a specific answer, but it gives them a comparison to where they stand compared to others, which I think a lot of people find really useful. We try to do some outbreak analysis every month for health departments. We try to distribute a map for gonorrhea and chlamydia to local health departments showing their percent change this year to last year. For years, we did that in a kind of Excel table and sent it to the counties and just had your percent change. And I can't imagine that anyone really looked at it. And we've been, you know, just like 20%, 22%, which the lawn list would just percent change kind of year to day. So we've tried to start doing this, and I think it's been pretty effective. The red states really stand out, so I'll get a phone call at the end of the month, what's going on in that red state? And then, you know, then we go into it. Is it a new provider? Is it an increase in females? And it makes people kind of put it on your plate now instead of waiting until 6 months when a 10% increase turns into a bigger issue. But this is just a percent change. You can see for any of the counties that have cases less than 10, we take those out because I don't want a 2 to a 4 to be included in the 50% increase. So the blue and the dark blue and the kind of cool blue colors are either negative or neutral. And then kind of the darkest red is the highest percent increase. And we try and do that monthly. The team is one of my local health department people. She'll say it doesn't come out monthly, and I'll agree with her. We try and do it monthly, probably prior to, say, quarterly. Yearly, for the top counties that are ranked by rate, we do a core morbidity analysis looking at census tract. The theory is that if you have resources coming up that can be targeted towards a given geographic area, here's the geographic area that would really affect your morbidity. This is Muskegon County in Michigan, which you can see has a really kind of concentrated geographic core. The mean number of cases in those red census tracts is 30. When you go to a blue census tract, it's 1. So all of their morbidity is in just these little areas. So we sum the number of cases that contribute 50, 80, and 100% of the morbidity cumulatively, and then provide that for them on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm. What city is that?
That's Muskegon. It's on the west side of the state. It's a very, it's not a big county in Michigan. It's very, very racially dispersed. So it's a very, like an urban, and then everyone else is, it's a very rural. So it's a small county in Michigan, but it just always has kind of interesting epidemiology. So once you kind of get into doing visual display for routine things, rates, counts, gonorrhea, chlamydia, we've tried to then incorporate moving from just local health department and everyday publications into something that can help groups, that can help work groups, that can get into more of just beyond surveillance data. So this is an example of mapping chlamydia prevalence from the IPP project. So this is including denominators and numerators, not just surveillance data, by the county of the provider, and overlaying that with the number of IPP providers in that county. And you see we had to do the dots because some of, like the Detroit Health Department, for example, has an STD clinic that's an IPP provider, has a family planning clinic that's an IPP provider, has an OB clinic that's an IPP provider. So they actually have 3 clinics that are all in one address. And so this has been effective because we have used this map to look at places where the prevalence is very high and the number of clinics is very low, or the prevalence is very low and the number of clinics is very high. Maybe the prevalence is low because there's a lot of clinics there. I mean, that's certainly a case. But we've used this to kind of, to educate other partners who work with us in family planning about what's going on with IPP, school-based clinics, juvie detention. It's just been kind of a useful thing that whole group has gotten. In Michigan, we have a really huge issue with racial disparities, especially with gonorrhea, like everyone, but it's especially in certain areas in Michigan, it's a major issue, and we really want to spend more time trying to show people what the situation is. So we have taken, this is a 2009 map, and we took the rate by county of gonorrhea in African Americans, the rate of gonorrhea in whites, divided the two. So if the rate is, you know, 10 in African Americans, 5 in Caucasians, then the rate ratio would be 2. And then map that rate ratio showing the counties with the hugest black-white disparity, which has been effective because I think a lot of people would say, oh, well, the counties that have the worst black-white disparity are just the counties with the worst morbidity, and that hasn't been true. And we wanted to point out to some counties that just because you're not in the top 5 rank for rate in Michigan doesn't mean you don't have a huge problem in this population. And this has been something that the HIV profile group has really, like, this has been something that they've included as an ongoing page in their HIV Epi profile. As we have really dramatic resource problems in Michigan, we we successfully advocated for increased general funds to the state of Michigan in 2009, and that money since has been taken away, but we did get it. So and one of the things we did was just to say, because, you know, senators and representatives in Michigan say, well, I don't have any, you know, people in my county don't want me to vote for that because I don't have any chlamydia in my county. So we just did a really, really simple map of chlamydia by Senate District, by Michigan Senate District. And you can see, even in the most rural of rural Senate districts up here, you know, the minimum number of cases is 238, which to, I think, a senator, 238 sounds like a lot, right? You know, to, when I think about chlamydia in Michigan, 238 isn't a huge number, but when you're at an individual person, you're thinking about your community, that's a significant number. And so we've used this, you know, this was a really successful map. I think it spoke to legislators. We've done it in all sorts. We've created kind of special packets for the Appropriations Committee, and I think it was an effective tool to kind of take surveillance data at a local health department and just kind of move it into something that's a little bit more for a different audience. And obviously, for the simplicity of this, we used cases, not rates, and I think cases speaks a lot to them. I mean, I think it says the same thing, if not more. Taking a step further, the Department of Education was interested in people ask you this all the time, you know, what school districts have the worst, what school districts do I need to go to? And so every year now we've been taking, on a county by county basis, mapping the number of chlamydia and gonorrhea cases in adolescents. Sometimes we do 10 to 18, sometimes we do 15 to 19, depending on their request, and mapping and giving them a count of, in this school district, this is how many chlamydia cases were in the school district. Now, huge disclaimers. Do those people go to school? I don't know. Are the 18-year-olds already graduated? Possibly. Do they go to a charter school or a private school? I don't. You know what I mean? There's great limitations with this data, obviously, and it's not perfect. And I think the Department of Education, before we did this, we had huge disclaimers. We don't want this on the front page of the newspaper, like, if you send your kids to X school district, they're going to get, you know, there's huge, huge issues with it. But the Department of Education in Michigan, to their credit, really wanted a tool that they could say, okay, these school districts, something's not going on here. So either we need to advocate with the STD program to get a school-based clinic there, we need to work with a health educator in that community to start going out to that high school more, lots of different things. So this has been kind of an internal project. And the maps are really not effective. There's tons and tons of school districts in Michigan, and the number of cases per school district, you don't know what the denominator is. So I'm just showing you the map. We don't honestly use the map, but what we've done is exported this data, and, you know, we have a count. You know, this, like, high school over here, Plymouth Canton School District, 7 chlamydia cases, and what we've gotten from the Department of Education is enrollment data for kids who, in theory, should be that age. And so what we've made is a rate. I mean, it's really questionable, and it's, you know, it's not totally accurate, but in terms of ranking, where should we go first, it's probably pretty good at targeting, these are the top 5 school districts that you might need to target. Should you go in there and say your rate is this? No. But we've used it to target areas, and surprisingly, there's been school districts that have popped up on the list that people don't even know. Like, you would say, oh, Detroit Public Schools. No, surprisingly, it's these kind of smaller school districts in urban areas, in cities, and in counties where the outside population of the county pulls up the rate. You know what I mean? Big counties where there's lots of people outside that school district that are making the rate look not as bad as it is in that area and in adolescents, and in African-American adolescents especially. Does anyone have any questions about that? Hillary?
Number of cases are higher, are actually doing a better job of screening than the other
Oh, yeah. Totally. And they might have more services.
The other areas that need to be, that need also
Right. And, you know, are some of the school districts that are popping up, school districts that are doing screening in the high school? I mean, certainly, there's huge disclaimers with that data. But like I said, we sort it and we kind of look at it and say, oh, yeah, that we already have people there. The reason why that looks big is because they're screening everyone. Or, you know, we just kind of use it as a educational information and not as a, as strictly a data or anything that you would publish in a table or a map, really. So next, I became an epidemiologist because I function in the left side of my brain. I don't do graphics. I'm not good at this stuff. I don't know what colors look good to people. I really don't. It's really a struggle for me. And so I need tools to say, okay, I have four variables in my map. Give me four colors that people like. And so I'm really a big fan of these tools. These are a few that I use. Color Brewer at Penn State. Does anyone use that one? Mark does? Yeah. It's just a free, really easy tool. You tell them how your data is, and it spits you back colors. Like, use these colors. I love it. The other one is the MSU Medical Geography Lab, which is a university in Michigan, and you can do small batch you can use small batch geocoders everywhere, but sometimes when I'm doing syphilis cases or smaller groups of data, I want a better accuracy than just 75% that's spitting out of my in-house surveillance system, so I'll use small batch geocoders to do smaller sets of data. And the National Cancer Institute's GIS color tool for ArcMap, which is another, if you're an ArcView user, is another really nice tool. And I think that's all I have. Does anyone have any questions? Sure. Oh, okay. Oh. Okay, go ahead.
Well, you said you're the only person who really does this. Mapping is pretty time intensive, so what do you think your allocation of time is?
Right. The story with me with mapping is when you don't do it every day, it takes me a day to figure out how to do what I did a year ago. Do you know what I mean? It's a technical thing. I'm not an excellent ArcView user by any means. I'm really not. And so when I haven't done it for 6 months for something and someone calls me and says, oh, can you do this? It takes me a whole day to figure out how do I import the files. As I've gotten better, it takes less time. We don't do these. We do some of them quarterly. Most of them we only do once a year. So I do a lot of mapping at the end of the year. I do occasionally for special projects, but I don't do a map every day, certainly not.
Well,
yes, please, go ahead. Yeah.
Did that unit also do district?
Yeah. So if you go on any website in your state, they have a little, I think most people have a tool that says, how do I find out who my senator is? And there's a little map and you could hit the area. Well, that map's coming from someone. So you have to find the person that's doing that, and I think in some places and a lot of states it's kind of affiliated with natural resources or with the information technology, but we're lucky that they geocode everything. The delimiting factor with my things is that if you're from a state that doesn't have one of these automatic geocoders is that you have to geocode your stuff first. And that's an extra step, and I'm lucky that I have more time to make maps and to do analysis because I don't have to do that, luckily. Someone else have a question?
To keep on schedule, just have one more question.
No, most of those maps are all reports, of chlamydia or gonorrhea or syphilis in a year. They're not deduplicated by people. So if you have four chlamydia events in a year for a given person, it's not one person, it's four. So it's events.
And your denominator, was that a
in my
census?
My denominator is census data. Mm-hmm.
Great,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it.